Blessed New Year 2024 to all of you. So glad to see you all. You're even smiling in this new year. This is indeed the first Sunday of 2024. For some of you, it might be a milestone year. Maybe as you celebrate a major anniversary. Anyone here celebrating 60th anniversary, 50th, 45th, or whatever? Or birthdays, anyone turning 100? Or some of you may be starting a new job, any of those? What about going to a new school? Or having new grandchildren arriving? Or children or grandchildren starting new schools? So many things can be new this year. And thank God, another year of ministry in ECCS is before us. And at this threshold of another new year, what's your hopes and dreams for 2024? Have you thought about that? Some of you still write down 2023 when you date things. Well, a new year is upon us. So what's your hopes and your dreams for this year? How about let's pray as we reflect upon that question. O Lord our God, you who are seated on the throne, you said, I am making everything new. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Father God, today we come before you with gratefulness in our hearts. We come before you, sometimes maybe some of us, maybe even feeling the trepidations of the life's difficulties and challenges. Father God, we are thirsty, though sometimes we don't know our need. But we pray, Lord, today you help us to drink in without cost the wonderful grace, the goodness that you have prepared for us as we think upon your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lights, camera, and action. So the TV interview started. Get what you want, 2024. A woman was being interviewed, and it was obvious from her appearance and mannerism that she has Down syndrome. And from questions asked, it's revealed that this woman has married a man who also has Down syndrome. So it turns out, that's the main thrust of the interview. People are curious how a couple with Down syndrome would manage with life. Like, how do they pay the bills, right? Do they work? And if so, how do they get to work? Because they are not physically able to drive, to qualify for a driver's license. Other things like, can they understand the issues of the day, such as politics or religion or the environment? And with a meager income, how could they ever realize everyone's dream of home ownership? Bottom line, how could they be happy? Surprisingly, the woman didn't flinch from the interviewer's string of questions. She just replied calmly and matter-of-factly, yes, I am happy because I always get what I want. Shocked, the interviewer repeated the list of things the woman and her husband would never have, yet with elegance that defied her awkwardness, the woman reiterated her point. I always get what I want, but I know what I want. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the woman gets her situation. Get, as in understanding her circumstances, who she is, her strengths and her weaknesses, so that she knows what to want. Unfortunately, for a lot of Christians, we don't know what to want. We still want things of this world, We overlook the important transformation that has taken place in us when we turn from condemned sinners to reconciled followers of Christ. And from today's scripture, Paul writes very profoundly that in Christ, Christians are new creations. New, not physically, like getting baby smooth skin or dark colored hair or intellectually boosting your IQ suddenly, nor new as in financially, that you have suddenly become millionaires. Rather, new as in Christians, no longer living for the world and wanting only things of the world. Yes, we still live in this world, but we don't live for the world. Therefore, we don't live for the things of the world. In other words, as new creations in Christ, Christians should get, that is, understand and strive towards wanting what God wants for us. So, get what you want in 2024 is a question for Christians, for ECCSians. What should you want? New Year is the time for new resolutions, new plans, new adventures. For some people, this is exciting because they get a kick out of starting over. For others, with a few more years of experience, maybe you tried starting over. You even make wonderful resolutions. But like most people, lasting only maybe 3 months on average, and things reverted to the old normal. So what's the point, right? That may be so. Let me urge you to make 2024 a turning point by basing on your new identity in Christ to formulate what you should want for the year 2024. Now, since today's scripture is but one verse, I tell you what, I'm going to read it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Chapter 5, verse 17, 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you glance up two verses to verse 15, and you see how you are made new. How are you made new? Because of what Christ has done for you. Therefore, you are made new. Christ died for you and he rose again for you. Elsewhere in the Bible, this making new creation is referred to as born again. Christians are made new because Christ died and was raised again for us. Hence, Christians should no longer live for themselves, but for him. That's why it says, no longer live for themselves. May today's scripture speak to you about wanting what God wants for you starting this year, 2024. Now, of course, it is good that you get your finances in order as well to keep your homes humming. And for those who haven't tried that before, you are in for a lovely surprise to find that a little budgeting, a little planning can work wonders for your life. And besides finance, it's also good to plan your time wisely, like romantic getaways for couples. How about that? To reinforce your marital bond, that's important too. Or meals and holidays with other relatives or friends in order to build and foster these key relationships. And don't forget to plan how or where you spend your energy too. Example, much as you wish to mow your neighbor's lawns up and down the street, you might want to do that over a week rather than just in one day because your energy is limited. So, you have your finances, your time, and your energy. Whether it is finance, relationships, or energy, or other resources under your command, you get a sense of balance so that you are spread healthily to get what you should want. Yes, those are important. The trouble is, many Christians put your faith in the back burner, in the leftover category, to be attended to only after you've got your fill of what you want according to your earthly desires. But at verse 20, Paul describes Christians as ambassadors of Christ. What's an ambassador? An ambassador is someone who carries out not their own wishes or desires, but those of their sender. An ambassador does not do what he or she likes to do, but what the prime minister or the president has asked them to do. That's what an ambassador is. And that's the sense of today's sermon, to get what you want in 2024. It's not about obtaining what you want, but understanding what wants you should have for the sake of God. What you should want isn't just about your roles as students or teachers, some of us, workers, fathers, mothers, grandparents, or sons or daughters. As ambassadors of Christ, Ecclesians should want what God wants for us. Now, today's sermon is my adaptation of an essay written by a CEO of a Christian finance company. It challenges ambassadors of Christ to consider what we should want. And for that, three pillars are key on which to build 2024. The first pillar, empty out suffocation. Suffocation is not a typo. It is the right word, suffocation. And anthropologists coined that term. And that term comes from suffocating. You know, you can't breathe. And why can't you breathe? Because you are suffocating from too much stuff. That's suffocation. When you have so much stuff, you can't breathe. You're preoccupied. You're always busy. You're always stressed because of all this stuff. Now, most of us have a mental picture of the basic necessities to be happy in life. However, from a study conducted in American homes, the stuff they have is quite a lot beyond basic necessities. For example, in the smallest home in the study of about 90 square meters or 1,000 square feet, they found over 2,000 items in that small place. Of course, and that excludes things that are in the cupboards or the drawers or the wardrobes. In other words, when you walk in, you see this stuff. And on average, guess how many shoes are there in American homes? 39 pairs. DVDs or videos, 90. CDs, 212. Toys, 139. Books, magazines, 438. It's a lot of stuff to fill the little space. Now, this is average home. And furthermore, 9 out of 10 has so many things that they kept the household stuff in, not the house, but the garage, because the house has overflowed. Actually, 3 out of 4 people had so much stuff in the garage, they can't park the cars in there. There's no more room. Suffocation is a symptom of insatiable appetite. That is, longing for more and more and more. One Peking duck is not enough. You want a Peking duck and a Peking drumstick. A Peking duck drumstick. So, Ecclesians, Christians, empty out suffocation. In this place is the second point. So you empty it out, that makes a void, right? So what do you fill it with? You fill up with church. That is participating in the life of a church. That means we hear regularly the good news of Christ Jesus for salvation from sin, and prepare for our eternity. Church is a place to learn about building up relationships, not tearing down, unlike places that you go that might be quite conducive for tearing things down. In church, we build up a relationship with God and with one another. And that with one another is the important part as well. Because everyone can love God because they don't have to deal with God. You know, God does not tell them what size of the TV He wants you to have, what color to paint the room. But your fellow brothers and sisters might. They might like to sit in your favorite seat in the church. They might like to keep the temperature very cold. So these are the things that we learn how to adjust to one another to foster this love. So in other words, we do things for others, not just for ourselves. And then when we come to church, we participate and we see all these different things. Well, so many empty chairs in our church. We start to get worried, can our church survive or not? But it's also an opportunity for us to learn peace despite things not going your way. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. So trade your worries in for prayers and plug into God's supernatural power to help us through difficulties. Now, I'm just mentioning some examples of why you should fill up with church, to participate in church. Participate, input truth and inspiration through reading the Bible regularly. Philippians chapter 4 tells us, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think about them. Outside of the Bible, of course we can think about all this beauty, all this purity, all this goodness as well, but very often they are tainted with the brokenness of the world. And in church, we learn to put money in its proper place. Not that it is unimportant, money that is. Money is important. Someone said, if you hear someone tell you money is not important, that just tells you that they may lie about other things too. So our Christian principle is to learn to master it rather than enslaved by it. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 10 tells us, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. Proverbs 1 verse 19. When you grab all you can get, that's what happens. The more you get, the less you are. Emptying out suffocation may leave you with a void. Fill that up with church, the good things that church foster. Of course, there are bad things in church as well. And through the love of Christ, the peace and the comfort and the strength of the Holy Spirit, we work through those. So fill up with church, participating actively. Otherwise, other stuff may creep in and you are none the better after a year's time. So fill up with church in 2024. And one of the most practical applications about filling up with church is, I think you might have gotten a hint from the last sub-point there, is learn to give or learn to tithe. Tithe means giving one-tenth, 10%. And in church, we especially emphasize giving. Why? Because we are different from what is outside. The world is about taking. It's about gaining. It's about getting. But the Bible is about giving. The New Testament, and I want to put your mind at ease on this, okay? The New Testament surpasses or transcends the Old Testament law commanding people to give 10% back to God. The New Testament does not make that requirement. Tithing means giving 10% of what you have for God's work. Tithing is a practice, actually, for you to learn contentment regarding what you earn and own. Tithing or giving comes up in the context of giving to a local church. And it's a yardstick for giving in general, not as a law like the Old Testament, but as an invitation and a challenge. A survey of 30,000 households found that those who donated to charity were 43% more likely than non-givers to say that they are very happy. In other words, someone who gives to charity are 43% more likely to say that they are happy. Amazing thing about giving. Sometimes you say, we know money cannot buy happiness. However, the giving for the sake of others can change our attitude. This research doesn't prove which comes first, whether it is giving or happiness. But I believe the two absolutely go together. Jesus' teaching found in Acts chapter 20 about more blessed to give than to receive is indeed realized in the real life experience of these generous people who learn to give. Now, many people would agree that tithing, giving 10%, is a good idea. But most people find it difficult. The sacrifice often seems so great. The most common reaction to tithing is, I don't have enough left over to give any of it away. Leftover. That is the key. If you haven't established a habit of proportional generosity, you look at that 10% figure and you, your tongue. You swallow your tongue. You gulp. It seems impossible to see your budgets to give that much. But recent research suggests there may be a way forward, and it's quite interesting. It's okay. You start with giving less than 10%. Start with 1%. Start with 0.5%. Start with a percent. You can plan or set a budget. That is, you give as predetermined, intentional, not an afterthought. Very often we see an offerings being taken in a church, then you scramble for the wallet. But when you have this habit of giving, you know you prepare. Okay, when you come to church, put on your best outfit. Get to church, bring your Bible, bring your water bottle, bring your offering. Intentional. And once you start to give what's right, not what's left over, you find that you can even increase a bit more after maybe 6 months, and a bit more after another 6 months. As you connect giving to your everyday life, you will soon see that you really do have enough. For learning to give is learning what enough feels like. Have you ever felt, oh, it's enough? Yes, it's enough. But unfortunately, many of us don't understand that feeling of enough because we are always wanting more. Sharing not just money, but time and energy also will feel not just more doable, but more joyful. Giving from a surplus mindset is not linked to how much money you have. Rather, it's about choosing to practice generosity in all its forms, including serving in church, giving of your time, giving of your energy, and giving of your gifts, your skills. Learning to give in 2024 helps you to experience what having enough feels like. That might be a big change for many of us, because we are Asians. Sometimes we just don't know how to feel what is enough. Well, 2023 now is over, is done with. What will 2024 hold for you? You don't need to write a resolution or proclaim it on your social media. Just your practical planning, like Asians are already good at doing, I think that's enough. We, you know, try to have a breakthrough for 2024. The first thing is you surrender your plan to God and see what happens. Not doing it on your own strength, on your own usual stuff, but you start with going to God first and see what God impresses upon your mind. You'll be surprised how God can impress you in that way. On the other hand, some of you feel discouraged because life has not been going too well for you. Perhaps you don't have any major issues in life, you know, one day runs into the next day, yet you feel that something is missing. It's kind of like an itch. You feel the itch, but you don't know where to scratch. Now, I'm talking about Christians here, okay? So perhaps this story may help you move forward anyway with your plans for 2024. A teenager was summoned to help his neighbor milk his cow. Turns out the farmer was too drunk to do it, so the neighbor needed help. So this teenager went there, started to kneel down to milk the cow, but at that moment the cow lurched forward and kicked him in his leg, making a deep cut, bleeding severely. Because there's no modern ambulance or helicopters in those days in that village, by the time the teenager got to the hospital, his leg had to be amputated, cut off. What started out as an act of kindness turned out to be a curse on the teenager's life. However, the teenager wasn't in the least consumed with his past. He could have been bitter about the drunken farmer or the call to take responsibility for someone else's animal. Yet, he never complained about his bad fortune or the fact that the situation left him without a leg. Instead, he stayed focused on the future and the abundance of good things he could do, like catch fish with his grandkids or beat the kids at checker games. Having the use of two healthy legs is surely a possession many of us believe is necessary to enjoy a full, happy, and large life. Of course, this was especially true in the teenager's community in his lifetime, where being able-bodied was essential to earning a livelihood, because then there's no knowledge workers, it's all laborers. But that teenager simply found a way, as many people do, of living well without the benefit of the full body he was given at birth. That boy finished school, he became a banker and a family man. He was at peace, he was content, no matter how many legs he has less. Now, thankfully, we all have legs here. And I don't suggest you go home and cut off anything. But I don't know what other gap or gaps you may feel you have in your life. Is it because, you know, you're not living as ambassadors of Christ? Is it because you feel that there is a gap in your life that why God has not fulfilled for you? That prevents you from living as new creation? I don't know what it is. You may have all your limbs and you look happy on the outside, but what it is that bothers you, that keeps you from God regularly, that keeps you from serving Him and offering yourself, that keeps you from all the stuff of this world? Maybe on this first Sunday, especially when we celebrate Holy Communion, remembering what God has done for our sake, that we can learn a bit of thankfulness, a bit of gratitude, and start a new dawn in your life. Some of you may think you are too old to start over because you are 25 already. Some of you may think, it's too early to start over because I am just 25. I don't know which category you fall in. But at the dawn of this new year, as a new creation of Christ, those who are ambassadors for Christ, live 2024 as new creations founded on these three pillars. First, empty out suffocation. Second, fill up with church. Participate in church. Give of yourself to the church. And third, learn to give. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, we thank you for our lives. And sometimes, though it is hard for us to give you thanks because of the circumstances in our life, it could be our age, it could be our looks, it could be our bank balance, it could be our other possessions, it could be our heart condition. Father, you know each and every one of us, what we need. You know each and every one of us so finitely. You know what can spark us off, can catalyze us, can set our hearts aflame. Father, as people who have not achieved salvation, we can only just come before you as humble recipients of your grace. And along with this grace, Father, we pray that you remind us, you stir up our spirit, and you start a new stage in our lives so that we can live 2024 as new creations. We surrender our stuff to you. In this place, we want to take in Christ Jesus in the form of the body of Christ, the church. And wherever we are at, however much or however little we have, Father, speak to us. Soften our hearts so that we are willing to give a small portion of your many blessings back to you for you to use in this world around us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.